You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? It's, I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. It's, I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in the same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all the intellectual outcasts out there. Glad to have y'all with me. Got some guests we're getting in on the show this morning. But before we go there, I just wanted to highlight some background to this particular show. At the end of the day, we do hard conversations on race, sex, and culture. We're pretty good at it, and I hope y'all will agree with that, especially if you're a first-time listener. But just giving a little backdrop to the show, again, a couple of special guests I'm about to introduce here. But this is a part two. We've only done a few part twos in all of our 8 years of being on the air. But part two for Why Should I Get Married? This has been, in a sense, led by Sister Lulu, or LaWanda Jordan's outdoors. She's putting on a play called Why Should I Get Married? And we're going to introduce a couple of her cast members, as well as Brother Sincere, who will be coming on shortly. A lot of y'all know Sincere very well. But I wanted to give a backdrop to help y'all understand that we are in support of an upcoming production, which you'll hear more about as this show. But I want to just kind of open with that to say, hey, that is the reason we did the show a couple of years ago when she was doing these seminars around Atlanta in reference to understanding this concept of marriage, if you will, the institution of marriage, and why should people enter it, because that comes into question a lot these days. So, yeah, we've done these shows to a degree, but I wanted to give props to LaWanda Jordan and Why Should I Get Married, the production coming soon. Again, you'll hear more about it. Let me get my guests introduced this morning. I got Brother Arvell Draper, one of the cast members, if you will. King, say hello to my intellectual outcasts out there. You can give any background you would like to give, what your role is in this upcoming production, if you will, and we'll introduce the other sister, and D that we got on. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I really appreciate the invite on here. My name is Arvell Draper. Some of you may know me. I'm an actor, singer. I like to call it just a gumbo of talent. In this play, upcoming play, Why Should I Get Married? I play Vincent, who been with my girlfriend for about, I believe it's 13 months. And now I'm faced with the question, why should I get married? I love her. I just can't see my life without her. But then I have some questions about, you know, again, why should I get married? So I go in, I talk to all my friends and close friends and family, and they give me their advice. Some is good, some is bad. And by the end of it, I'm really unsure what I'm going to do. And I'm faced with that same question, why should I get married? This is an awesome cast. We've been working hard on this to make this production wonderful and informative. And a shout out definitely to you. I know you shout out Lulu. Shout out to her for putting this on, having the vision. She's hardworking, and we want to give the people something that they can walk away with and ask that same question, those who may be thinking about getting married. Why should I get married? And also to promote those who are married to give them some jewels to drop on them to help them in their marriage as well. So that's what I got. That's the background for it.
No, I love it. I love it. Let me get the other sister on. D, if you will, Queen, say your whole name for the audience just so they can hear that, if you don't mind, and give a little bit of your background and what's your role in this upcoming production. And for anybody out there listening, we're not doing a whole show on the production. We're actually going to get into why should we get married, but we wanted to use the backdrop for why we're doing this show just to give y'all some context to all the listeners out there. But go ahead, Queen. Thank you for being on the show with us this morning.
Yes, thank you so much for having us on the show this morning. Shout out to LaWanda. I'm super excited about this project. My name is Deniquia Townsable, but everybody calls me D or Boss Lady. I'm a singer-songwriter, actress, and an entrepreneur. I'm actually working my party rentals business as I'm on the phone. We're driving to the next location. But I'm really, truly excited about being a part of this project. This is my first time doing a stage play in a very long time. My character is Keisha. Keisha is easy to love and hard to hate, but at the same time, she's, you know, she's a little stubborn. But she's actually a very close friend of Vincent, and she gives him great advice, you know, as to, you know, on marriage, although her marriage is not perfect, but she does love her husband. But she, you know, does her best to give Vincent the best advice that she can since she's known him for so long. So, again, my character is just someone that you'll love to hate, but hate to love all at the same time.
I love it. I love it. So now that sounds awesome. Y'all will hear a lot more about that production and how you can get tickets in the upcoming couple of weeks. November the 11th? What's the date, y'all?
November 11th.
Yep, November 11th. I had that correctly. Like we got, but again, y'all will hear more about that. But to get this morning's discussion started, for those who are longtime listeners, I know I go by the name Black Socrates, so we always do our show in the form of a question. So when this production is already in that form, then it easily fits our format, if you will. We like to ask all of the right questions, if you will, to try to get to the answers that we're looking for. So for both of our actor and actress, if you will, for our actors here, so we're going to pull y'all out of your, if you will, characters, and we're just going to ask you, as we have this discussion this morning, your personal take as we go through this discussion, and looking forward to getting our relationship coach, Brother Sincere, on here pretty soon, but we're going to get this thing started, go to our first commercial break, and we're going to have a real discussion for anybody, again, for anybody out there listening, for why should we get married, and obviously highlight the play along the way, if that makes sense. So if I could, we got a couple minutes before break. Arvell, I'll go back to you real quick. Stepping out of character and just, you know, and in the sense of why should I get married, you know, as I mentioned at the very beginning, it's a question that a lot of people typically ask themselves. So if anybody out there listening in marriage is not something that's on your mind, no big deal. But for those who explore that question, from a personal standpoint, where do you land in your short answer, if you will? I'll ask both of you and then we'll go to break. What's your short answer for, in your opinion? I don't know if you're married in real life or not or anything like that, but in the event that, why should you get married? What's your short personal answer to that question, in your opinion?
Why should I get married? Now I am not married at this time, and I actually was married once before, a very long time ago, 8 years, and so my perspective is kind of, you know, I have a different perspective there being a divorcee. But why should I get married? Even with everything that I've been through, it wasn't the best of marriage, it wasn't the worst. I still feel that you should get married because it's just something about sharing a life with someone, experiencing life together. We as men, I'm sorry, and some men might not agree with me, but we need a woman, our own personal cheerleader that's there supporting us, you know, helping us through, build some goals, and then more important, getting our relationship with God that helped me, if you would. So that's why I feel why we should get married.
No, I love it. And who the fool out there that don't know we need them? Now let me stop.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we know we need y'all. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you will, D, if you will, just a short answer. We're actually up against the break, so if you can keep it quick, no problem. If you don't mind, why should I get married? From your personal take, again, step outside of character and just give your personal take. If you, and if you don't, even if you could even say you don't think we should or whatever. Either way, just what's your take on
I honestly think that, you know, people should, you know, date to marry. I am married. I've been married for over 17 years. Over 17 years to my husband. He's prior military. And, you know, I've always wanted someone that I could share my life with and, you know, just be my best friend. And when I'm down and out, he's there for me. So I feel like everybody needs that special someone in their life. So, yeah, people should definitely get married.
No, I love it. With that said, we're going to go to our first break and get back hot and heavy into, again, the actual question we're going to explore for the rest of this conversation is why should I get married? Again, this is part two of this show. We did it first one a couple of years ago. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. On Saturday, 4 p.m., November the 11th, Lulu Events presents a play asking the ultimate question, why should I get married? Join us for a tale of love and marriage and a different kind of date night with good food, good drinks, and a celebration of longtime married couples leading by example. Tickets are only $25. Please visit eventbrite.com and search in Georgia for Why Should I Get Married. Limited seating, so order your tickets now and catch this night full of love, power, and agreement. Saturday, 4 p.m., November the 11th, Why Should I Get Married?
Now, one of the things that we're doing in our society, which I think it's absolutely appalling, is that we're making the case that all families are equal. Mm-hmm. It's like, sorry, no, wrong. And there's no empirical data supporting that proposition, by the way. It's much better for kids to have two parents.
Okay.
Now, who those parents are, that's a whole different issue. But.
Okay, and if I could just add one more thing. How would you ask that question to, let's say, a daughter who was raised without a father? Because she would obviously have different ways to find those fragments of her missing father than, like, a boy would instead. Because obviously they're raised differently. At least they should have been.
Well, I think it's the same issue, you know. I mean, I think that another danger that emerges, and this is Freud's, of course, famous observation, is that, you know, if there's mom and child, mm-hmm. or father and child, that relationship can get a little closer than it should.
Okay.
And then the lines get blurry and mixed. And I'm not saying that that happens to everyone, obviously, but mm-hmm. but it's still a danger that's inherent in the situation. They're thrust together too tightly without sufficient resources.
Okay.
And so the responsibility has to be distributed more. And, like, I really do think that it's the sign of the degeneration of a society when single parenthood becomes anything approximating the norm. It's
okay.
not a good idea. And part of the reason I believe that, and I think this has to do with the overwhelming selfishness of modern life, is that marriage isn't for the people who are married. It's for the children, obviously. And, like, if you can't handle that, grow the hell up. Seriously.
Yeah. Okay.
Seriously. Once you have kids, it is not about you. Period. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't about you at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that just seems so self-evident to me. I can't believe that anybody would even question it.
Oh, it's been questioned.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm certainly aware of that. Yes, it's questioned. It's almost illegal to question it now.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, why should I get married, part two? Special guest. Actors Arvell Draper, as well as the Queen D, a.k.a. Boss Lady. I got my relationship coach, Sincere, coming through. Let me get that brother introduced and have him give his relationship coaching background and jump right into that cut, because you are a regular on this show, King. So thank you for being with us. But if you will, introduce yourself real quick and jump right into what we do, reaction to that cut as it relates to this morning's discussion question, why should I get married? Thank you for being with us, King.
Peace, fam. Hope all is well, man. I'm privileged to be on this show, man. I appreciate the conversations that we're always having surrounding a relationship, marriage, connection, so forth and so on, brother. This has been a journey for me, and I'm just finishing up some of the work.
Mm-hmm.
After writing the book, The 30 Love Laws, I found that that we're missing it in a number of ways, right? So that's what my coaching leans to, and I love what was just said in relation to relationship and how we see that connection. When you bring in children, the relationship is not just about you because you decided to bring in other elements, other factors. Now, just like you said, it doesn't mean that it's not about you at all, but you added other elements, and the children didn't have a choice to be added to the process. So now we have to reshape how we see the purpose and the structure of marriage. So very prudent points, man.
No, I love it. Again, that was Jordan Peterson. I'll say that again, but Jordan Peterson, just in case you didn't know the voice. But I felt like if we were going to do this show, I wanted to start what I would consider foundational to the history of, in a sense, the purpose of marriage. I think we've had plenty of dialogue, Sincere, on this very show about understanding, in a sense, I would say, some historical context. And I would offer, I started with that cut just to share this, and D, I'll get you to have the first response to this. But I started with that just from the sense of we're in what we now know, I don't think it's no argument, we're now in the me era to the extent that, to a degree, when we ask this question, why should I get married, that in my opinion, we've lost sight of that foundation, especially for the marriages that still want to bring children or plan to bring children. Obviously, if you're in a sense maybe past that context or wanting to get married, in a sense, that could be treated different. But I would offer that in general, in today's context, we don't, in general, put in the context that marriage was always intended, in a sense, for the children, about that legacy. And to Peterson's and Sincere's point, it's not that it's not about you, but as he said, as Peterson said, grow up and realize foundationally, if that's what you're going to bring in another life, then it becomes about how can we do this together to make sure they okay. I think that's lost in today's society, in my opinion. Your thoughts, D? Do you still live? Are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. I apologize. I'm on the road.
No problem. Did you? I was asking. Did you understand my question, or did you?
No,
hear
please re-ask it. I apologize.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna have Arvell jump in, and I think you'll catch it as he responds. So, can you, in a sense, I was gonna have you respond anyway, Arvell. Just respond to, okay, in a sense, what I was saying in general. That I started with that cut. Because I didn't think we could have this conversation without remembering, in a sense, the foundational context that has always been a part of marriage that I think is somewhat lost today in today's me society. Your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. The marriage is definitely about the children, and we got a society is just all about me, and I'm not giving this, and these kids didn't ask to be here. You know, we made the choice, or didn't make the choice, or irresponsible choice, to have children. And once they come on this earth and they're here, it's our responsibility to and the way they should go, you know. And if not the parent, then who's going to do it? You're going to let the streets train them up. And then that might not turn out the right way, you know. Or you got big mama them that's raising them, and it causes other issues for these kids. And so the kids need to see this marriage and the husband and wife working together, not seeing a perfect picture. They need to see the disagreements and how they resolve conflicts healthy together. It is about definitely about the kids and what we can provide for the kids. But on the other hand of that, because I've actually been in a situation when I was married, I was conflicted when I was going through my divorce because of my kids, because they were very young, and I'm like, they need their father in their life. They need that example. They need that structure in their life for the kids. However, when I weighed the option and it was going to be more detrimental to stay in that for them, because they had already seen an example of how a man should treat his wife. They've seen an example of how a wife should treat the husband. They saw the healthiness, and now it was about being unhealthy. So I had to make that decision, the best for my children. Now, if I can go back, you know, and seeing the effect it has on my children today, you know, I might have made that extra effort or extra try to make it work. You know, I'm fortunate that my children turned out great. You know, no problems to report right now. But if they had that structure and they had that unit and seen an example, I think they would have been a lot better off.
Now, I respect your thoughts. And for anybody that are listening, I'm just going to ask as we can just kind of put this in context. As you listen to this show and hopefully call in and give us your 3 cents, we definitely welcome all the listeners' opinions. I see a lot of callers out there. I just want to highlight that as we walk through this, I ask that you hear this conversation not personally to you, as we are, in a sense, we're asking a broad question. And again, I'm thinking of it from a societal standpoint, and you know, Arvell agrees in a sense that in general we've lost sight of just that foundation, and the reason that matters, again, from a personal context, devoid of your individual situation, and you know, to Arvell's point, just to highlight this for anybody that may be thinking this, even in highlighting that it's for children, we're never at no point throughout this show. I want to get this clear off the top. At no point at this show, we're not saying people stay together no matter what. We're highlighting the general context that has been lost when we get to a me society and we're focused on what the other person can do for you. It loses sight of making the marriage bigger than yourselves, especially if you bring children. And there's, I think, Sincere would agree, the coming together of a union is, in a sense, always going to be bigger than yourselves. But if two people don't understand that, it becomes easier to go to split. And Barry, as Arvell just pointed out, even in his own situation, he did it, but he still, to a degree, wonders, you know, what it would have been like had he been able to, in a sense, stay in that marriage for his children. Again, we're not doing right and wrong. We're talking about the broader context. Cecile, kind of help me out here, just kind of as I'm walking through that, and then we're going to go to UD and assist. If you give your thoughts, because again, you've been married 17 years, don't know your family structure, if you will, but I'm definitely curious of your thoughts as well. But Cecile, jump in here before I go back to D.
Absolutely, brother. Beautiful points, and I'm glad that you pointed that out, because oftentimes we take conversations like this, we internalize it, and we make it personal. It's not personal initially. It is general as far as the statement is concerned. But I'll just say this. Why should we get married? It's simple math, right? 1 + 1 = 2, right? When me and my wife got together, we brought in income, right? Both of us, right? It's a collective energy, right? So now we're projecting positive imagery and energy and efforts into the community. Right? The origins of this marriage thing was to grow family, to grow lineage, right? So that's where we had the arranged marriages. And me and my wife used some of those elements of arrangement to make sure that we had a proper union, that we were connected before we went any further in the courtship from the dating process. So it's absolutely vital that we see that this is a question about how are we going to develop and grow our culture and stop the dwindle of family, of connection, of community, of tribe, of village?
No, I love it. D, I know you out there on the road, boss lady. I know we only got you for a few minutes, but definitely wanted to hear your thoughts. Again, you are 17 years married, come to learn on this show. And so definitely your thoughts and the foundation being, and again, in my opinion, bigger than just yourselves. Again, don't know if you have children or anything like that, but just wanted to get your thoughts on that context to start the show, right? There's more, obviously more in this conversation, but we wanted to start with that foundation that was clearly understood, I would say, 50 plus years ago, and that's just me generalizing. Your thoughts, Queen.
Yes, sir. So my thoughts on the foundation. Foundation is so important. Arvell is right. Your kids, they look to you, you know, to learn everything. For example, my husband, his mother and I are similar. We're kind of just alike in a sense. So it's almost kind of like he married his mom. I know that sounds a little weird, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
as a son,
yeah,
when you look at somebody, they're like, hey, you know, I want my wife to be like my mom, you know. and whatever those traits are that, you know, you desire or whatever. But my parents were never married. So I didn't get a chance to see, you know, any type of foundation from them. I learned how to be a wife and how to be a mom. I'm a mom of three, by the way. I learned how to be a mom from my aunt Lassie and my Uncle Mike, like being around them and being mentored by my Uncle Mike. I learned, you know, about how to be a wife and what marriage is all about and how you're not supposed to go running to everybody, how you're not supposed to argue in front of your kids. Like, I had to learn all of these things, and I'm being honest because I didn't, you know, I was like, look, if I'm mad, I need to express it, right? So it did take a couple of years, honestly, me being very open to learn, you know, how to say, okay, look, we got to go out the door and have this conversation, or we got to step away and do this, because your kids are watching and you don't want them to, you know, think that it's normal to have toxic relationships, you know, later on in life, you know. So, yeah, your kids do look to you to learn about, you know, the spouse that they're going to be with, like, or that they see themselves with, or they foresee themselves with. I always tell my kids, if there's something about me that I'm doing that you don't like, then you know not to do it. You get where I'm going? Or if there's something that you admire, then, mm-hmm. you know, do what you got to do to be just like that or mimic it in any way you feel. So, yeah, you know, having that solid foundation or just being model, you know, a good role mm-hmm. model or a model for your kids, you know, like a desirable model for marriage, like just showing them what marriage should look like and what it should be like is the most important thing, because they're going to go off and they're going to move out of your house, get married, have their own, and you don't want them doing, you know, certain things or getting into trouble or being with the wrong people. So, yeah, that foundation, it does matter. This is a broad conversation, by the way. So I'm kind of trying to talk about everything all at once, but in a nutshell, I just know that we're desiring to build a lot for our kids, just not business-wise. I'm sorry, I apologize, too, because I'm going in and out because we're in the country driving.
Right. You're coming through clear, just so you know.
I was trying to catch everything. I heard you with the Me Too movement, the me.
Yeah, no problem. You good.
That's
queen.
One thing that we've learned. We're not with the me in our house. You know, you have to be considerate of your spouse. You got to be considerate of what your kids are seeing, because you can be acting selfish and your kids are watching that. Now they think that they're supposed to grow up and do the same mm-hmm. thing. So yes, it's all about being a being model. Like, you have to be that role model. You got to show your kids what it's supposed to look like, what it's supposed to be like, so that way they can grow up and they'll follow suit.
No, I love it. I love everything that you brought out, again, because I know we only have you for a short time. So I'm glad you were able to get a broad perspective. Partly because of your short time, but I also appreciate everything you said from a couple of standpoints. Like you said, your husband he had it modeled for him, so he had an idea of what he was looking for. Clearly, his mother was someone to admire, so he's, in a sense, you know, there is a concept, especially in the past, of, yeah, I want to marry my mother, especially if it was, you know, a great relationship. So in that, he was able to get that. You not having it, fortunate enough, you were able to have it modeled by an uncle, which is kind of historically when culture understood that marriage was for the lineage, for the children, if you would, part of that is so that you would have, quote unquote, the village that we always talk about, that we all unfortunately now say is no longer there, which is part of the reality. And that's a little bit of what Peterson was referring to when he says there's issues when having single parenthood normalized. When it's normalized, you, as it is today, people are not forced enough to get that model. So even though you didn't have it in your home, per se, D, your uncle was right next to you, and you talked about what you learned. The other part that I loved in what you said was just individually getting into the marriage and saying, I had to learn some of the things not to do while on the job, right? Marriage is learning on the job. I don't even know if the conceptually always understand that. Real quick, Quinn, I know you got to go out of here. Sincere, can you give me just one wrap up of what we just said? And then I want to make sure she gets to give out any public information before we let her go and go to break. But just a real quick succinct of everything that you just heard, because you're so good at that, brother. Please jump in real quick.
Yeah, brother, absolutely. Peace, Queen. Wonderful, wonderful sentiments. And I just want to say that once we understand where we are, right, then we can address it properly. Like my sister talked about the fact that she got some information, some game from her uncle, right? And then she learned on the process, right? So what she's talking about are those proper and effective tools to help her achieve the goal of having a great relationship and then growing that relationship. So we have to understand that we need two things being tribal people. We need the proper and effective tools, and we need wise counsel. So there's no better way to wrap it than what my sister said.
No, I love it. I love your real life experience, D. I know you got to get out of here because you out there doing your thing, so we respect it. I'm pretty sure Lulu loves the fact that you were able to come on. If you will, Queen, tell them why they should come to the production, because we'll get more into that before you get out of here. And thank you for your time, Queen.
You're welcome. Thank y'all so much again for having me. Thank you, LaWanda. Thank you, Mr. Sincere. I've met you before, and I can't wait to see you again. Arvell, you know, Vince, I love you, bro. I can't wait to get this thing going. You guys want to make sure you get your tickets to the Why Should I Get Married play, because if you're the type of person that's interested in getting married and you want some tips, if you want to just see things at full view, then you want to be at this place. If you have some questions and maybe you're scared to go ask someone, you know, come to the play, because, you know, Arvell, he plays Vince. He's really asking those serious questions, and he's getting some hard advice from a lot of people. From his grandma, from his counselor, from his best friend, from his homeboys. Like, he's really, he's doing what they call asking the circle, you know? So nice. If you're not comfortable with asking your circle, or you don't have a circle, you know, come to the play, because your questions might just get answered. And that's why you should come to the play.
No, I love it. No, I love it. Thank you for your time, Queen. Really, really appreciate very dynamic in your response in that short time. So love to thank you for that. Have a good day. Hope you make some money today, Queen.
Thank you. Have a great day now. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. All right, y'all. So we're going to get this thing very interesting now. We're going to go into some locker room talk from the fellas. This is a Joe Rogan cut. So it's pretty raw. If you're a first-time listener, we are not a politically correct show. We actually have two rules. We are not politically correct. And the other one is you can come in, you can call in and give your opinion, but just be respectful of others, if you will. So just highlighting, this is going to be somewhat crash, but I think we'll highlight and keep this conversation going. For the callers out there, if y'all want to get in, all you have to do is press 1 and we'll get your 3 cents as well. All right, we'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
You know what the problem with a lot of fucking people is, especially a lot of dudes with money? Is when you get married, your wife has money too now. Like, before you got married, you were the guy with money. So you had a bunch of money. She's like, wow, I like this guy. He's got money. And then when you get married, guess what? Now she's got money too. Now she gets to recognize you for you. And so it's not, you're not as cool anymore, because you're not just the guy with money. She's got money too, bitch. It's her fucking money now. And she's like, God damn it, I'm going to take my share and get the fuck out of here. Like, all of a sudden, she's got your money. Like, what happened? What happened is, like, there's a bunch of things that happen when people get married, right? There's love, there's devotion, there's commitment, there's a beautiful bond that you guys share. But let's not get confused. Under the exact same rules, with the exact same words, I do, there's a lot of scamming going on. There's a lot of people getting robbed. There's a lot of legal extortion. There's a lot of legal stealing. There's a lot of really hot women who have no business fucking some old dude. There's a lot of really hot women that are like fucking some guy who's 70 years old, and they talk this dummy into marrying them with no prenuptial. They suck his dick for a couple of years and drop the kablooey on him. Blonk! And take a chunk, just take a giant chunk of millions and millions of dollars. That happens too. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen, and I'm not saying it's not an interesting deal, you know, that some people make, you know, like the guy who married Anna Nicole Smith. Remember I used to have that bit about that guy? That was the same kind of thing. It was like, nothing wrong with it. Everybody knows what it is, but you can't, like, that's not the same. Like, all marriages are not the same. So people that were upset about, like, gay marriage, there's gay people that legitimately love each other and they want to get married. You should be upset at this other shit. You should be upset that you could go to Vegas, high on coke, go through a drive-thru and get married. You can do that. They're not drug testing you. They take you to those drive-thru Elvis fucking wedding chapels in Vegas. You think they see if you're drunk? They don't give a fuck if you're drunk. You mean maybe you can get it annulled tomorrow if you are. I mean, maybe. I don't know. They don't give a shit. That's marriage, too. It's a bunch of different things. It's a goddamn contract, you know?
Marriage is bad for somebody when they lose something. That's what it basically is. They lose a house. They lose money.
Yeah.
If you marry somebody and all of a sudden you go, hey, I don't want to be married no more. Me neither. See you tomorrow. Who's keeping the house? It's your fucking house. Bye. Okay.
That's great.
Nobody would get angry.
Nobody would get angry.
It's when you lose something.
Right.
You know, or somebody cheated on you or whatever. I had no money when I got divorced. It wasn't even that alone.
So you're like, yay.
Yay. Oh, fuck yeah. When I could do comedy now and the whole thing.
Yeah.
But there was a kid involved.
Right.
And there's always fucking something. See, that's when marriage sucks. I also told myself that for years. And it wasn't the marriage that sucked. Sometimes we don't put enough into the marriage. You know, I didn't know what marriage was when I first got married. I'll tell you what, I know what marriage is now, motherfucker. I know what marriage is now, and that's why it works. I know you have to put time in. When I first got married, you do the laundry, you cook, and I give you a check. And we fuck. I fuck you when I want. That's not marriage. When you're 25, you think that's marriage. You know, you think that's marriage. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I'll go out and work. I didn't think you had to pay attention or go to a date night or fucking have to put time into them or, you know, I can't do a spot tonight because I'm going to the movies with my wife. You know, you have to put that time in if you want it to fucking work.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guests, relationship coach Sincere Sincere, as well as actor in the Why Should I Get Married play, Arvell Draper. Again, some locker room talk between Joe Rogan. I forget the other guy that's on the show with them, but it's just real raw and crude on a lot of perspectives, obviously in this cut, particularly from men, of what, in a sense, men sometimes are worried about, right? If I got money, is she with me for the money? Will she leave me and take my money? Is the kind of the first half of that. And then you kind of hear it come full circle of the his guest highlighting, hey, once got a divorce, this time around he understands marriage a lot better. So a lot in that cut. Sincere, I'm going to let you kind of just jump in where you fit in reaction to what you just heard on that Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, man, they cut some stuff right out of my mind, bro. So that's how I saw marriage in my first one. You know, we were looking to figure it out, and I am married and divorced, and I recognize that I didn't have the tools, right? So we can only help others from the space of doing the work. The information is cool, but you're going to lack details if you're not doing the work, right? So they said a lot of prudent things in there. And there were some things that were missing as well, right? Oftentimes when I hear marriage, I'm not hearing anything about spiritual connection or value of two families becoming one or the value of creating a legacy, a lineage that's going to affect generations to come, right? So the first time I had that type of conversation, I'm like, oh, man, like this is, oh, man, I don't have this thing in the proper perspective at all. My concepts are off, so I need to do something better and different. You know, but that's a real conversation because that's how most cats that I talk to out here in Atlanta and around the country, that's how we see it until we grow up our perspective.
Nah, that's real. I'll even admit this, and I'll get your thoughts as well. But the initial part of Joe Rogan and the guest pointing out that it's a real thing that, in a sense, that some quote-unquote, again, coming from the men's perspective, that some women are, in a sense, out to get your money, right? Like, that's something that is kind of put in your head even as a young man. And I recall when in my 20s, being in the military, I would date, like you said, having the wrong context, misunderstanding things, like to your point, Sincere. But I remember I would date, and I wouldn't always share that I was in the military just because I was in and you've been in the military, you probably remember this as well, but because I was in a military town, it was a thing for, in a sense, the locals to, in a sense, want to marry, you know, a military person, if you will. And so because I heard that was a thing, I wouldn't always share it because I'm trying to peep, is this person dealing with me for me or because they know I got government benefits? And
I'm highlighting it because it was a real thought. Now, older, silly of me to, in a sense, be worried about it. I will highlight the Joe Rogan example. He's clearly talking about people that are extremely wealthy. I'm highlighting my personal example is because even as young men, that's something, in a sense, that we're told. And the reality is it's almost laughable and a joke when I think back to it. I was doing well at my age for that time, but I wasn't wealthy enough to have to worry about a prenup. But my point is we will take on even the stuff that we see with celebrities and people who are all worthy or who are wealthy and bring it into our context. And it's laughable that it's even a concern. But I can only say that in retrospect and with age. Arvell, your thoughts to the cut or anything that myself and Cecile said. Go ahead, King.
Indeed. I was laughing the whole time. That's some real stuff that they both dropped concerning marriage, and it's so much stuff I can cover. What I want to do is piggyback off you. I was also in the military, and I like your perspective on. It's kind of foolish to sit there and think, oh, she out for my money, but even though that's coming from a standpoint of billionaire and extremely whatever. It still exists because you had some, like I was in the military, and some of them, didn't have nothing going on for themselves. They're looking for an opportunity, right? And that's always a consideration. And to your point, society has put us in our head to where we think that too, But I like what his guest said. He said, marriage is not bad until you lose something. Whether you lose your respect, you lose your house, whatever, it's not bad until you lose something. But then he crossed over and said he learned something. I'm a divorcee, and I learned something through marriage. I got married in the fog. You should never do anything when you're in the fog. And that's doing something out of fear, doing something out of obligation, or doing something out of guilt. Never do anything out of the fog. And so what I learned from my marriage is some of the mistakes I made, even choosing to get married. And so what we have to do is, even for those who have not been married, the mistakes you've made in different relationships, you really need to first off take accountability of the things that you did wrong, because it's never both people or one person. It's all because of you, all you. You got to own up to that responsibility. But you learn from all your different failed relationships or even marriages, and then you learn, hey, I got to put the time in. I gotta compromise. You have to learn from your mistakes, and you gotta admit that you got some mistakes, and you still got some healing to do. So that's what I kind of got from that. So much more, but that's the main.
No, absolutely. Now I love your thoughts. For the callers out there, if y'all are interested in jumping in the conversation, you do have to press 1 to get on with us this morning. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. And you have to press 1 to say you want to speak. And so, if you will, Sincere, again, I just want to highlight currently what we see online when it comes to, any situation where, I'll have to bring up the gender war. It has to be, in a sense, a part of this conversation where there's, would this woman be with him if he didn't have money, right? Like that's just something that we saw and see play out every day, especially with celebrities, if you will. And we're literally watching and looking at the celebrities and bringing it into context into our own lives. And when I say our own lives, you could be broke and still have an issue with that happening. Like that makes no sense, but it is what happens when you pay attention to one, things you shouldn't even be paying attention to, and two, it's affecting how you're going to look at pairing and mating with another. Again, I'm calling myself out from my 20s, being over-concerned with that, in my mid-20s, doing, well for the area, but I should have never been concerned with that. And to Arvell's point, it's not that there are not sisters, in a sense, that will do that, but what I am talking about, and I think you will understand this, Sincere, I'm talking about being so concerned with it that you don't realize it's affecting your pairing. That makes sense. Like how are you going to pair well when you're paranoid about something you really shouldn't be to the extent of how it affects any relationship you have, if that makes sense. Let me look at the, We actually up against the break, brother. So let me go to this commercial and then have you respond. Sincere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Are you tired of the same old networking events where all you do is shake a few hands, give out a few business cards, and nothing happens? Well, Mental Dialogue and Bookstore Gallery invites you to First Mondays to dialogue and connect for cannabis and conversations, a unique and fun networking experience. Get there early to compete in the Connect Four Icebreaker Tournament. In addition to networking opportunities, the event will include cannabis industry news, mystery poet, and dialogue on race, sex, and culture. All attending business owners can give a one-minute pitch about their business or upcoming events. This is a donation to enter event and must be 21 to attend. Monday, November the 6th, 7 p.m., Cannabis and Conversations, where networking is a vibe. For more details, visit mentaldialogue.com.
Yeah, you got to have an actual relationship. That's where it gets tricky. It's hard, you know, it's hard to find someone that you enjoy talking to, you know, that you enjoy being with. Not just doing stuff with, but just sitting alone and talking. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to find people that are on the same wavelength as you. It's hard to find people that want to talk about the things you want to talk about or want to, you know, want to see things through your perspective and that you want to see things through their perspective, that you want to have these open, kind of honest conversations. It's not easy to find someone like that. These poor people that we all know that are on, like, dating apps, like, especially smart women. I know a lot of smart women that cannot find a fucking man to save their life. And you look at it, you're like, I don't get it. Smart, ambitious, powerful woman, hot, can't find a man. It's hard out there. It's hard to find somebody that you sync with, that you could talk to. I think it's way easier for a dude to find a cool chick than it is for a girl to find a guy who's got his shit together. Maybe I'm just guessing. But I think it's probably harder.
There's a lot of single women out there that are fucking good looking, have jobs and shit.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, why should I get married? Part two, special guest, relationship coach, Sincere, as well as Arvell Draper. Again, just a little more locker room talk, just walking in, massaging this conversation, trying to explore why should we get married. I know I said some things, Sincere, so if you want to respond to that or the cut, either one, jump in, my brother.
Yeah, no doubt. On both of them, brother, you can't. One of the things that I've recognized over a period of time, you can't build on a foundation of anything that's not solid that won't last and be sufficient over time, right? Paranoia being one of them, right? So for a period of time, bro, I know where you're at, man, because I was paranoid for a minute. I've been an eligible bachelor in Atlanta. So you know, you start looking around and you're like, man, like I wonder, is this person looking for influence or they here for the ride or, you know, I'm doing decent for myself. So I wonder if they are for the ride. So that crosses your mind, right? But then that's where those tools come into play to where you're like, okay, as I build with this person, let me really see why they're here. Right, let me ask the question. Let me see what their intentions are. All right, and let me be clear on my intentions, my agenda, my motivations, right? And then you move into, you know, what you just heard, right? So all of these things, they play into who and how we connect with people. And it is coming from a holistic standpoint, which is how spirit, mind, and body helps you to create an alignment so you can create a reality. It's not tougher for women than it is for men. To find someone to mate with or connect with over an extended period of time, that's tough, period.
Yes.
Especially when you don't have the tools, right? So I really wanted to talk about that because we use information in a poor way, and it helps us develop a pessimistic point of view versus the point of view that we need to have to be open to connect with people in a meaningful way.
No, I love that. I'm going to highlight this, and Arvel, I'll go to you. I want to just kind of reiterate that when you put everything in context, you know, I'm a context person, right? More communication happens when it's in the correct context. And so just to highlight, when we think about it, it should be tough to find a life mate. But tough from the standpoint of someone you can get it correct with, because it's going to be a journey. So when you kind of put it in that context, then to a degree, it gives you a perspective on, I expect it to be tough again, from the standpoint of finding the match who understands the purpose of this thing. That shouldn't be easy for a lifelong mate. But to your point, Sincere, when we start factoring in these other things, this pessimism that becomes a part of your search, again, you don't even consciously realize you're in your own way because you're paranoid about the wrong things. Or to your point, you're trying to figure out the other person's intentions, but not always revealing your own based on your own paranoia. You're shooting yourself in the foot and don't even know it. Any thoughts, Arvel, about what you're hearing, brother? Go ahead, King.
Yeah, indeed. I think Sincere said it best. We're not looking at the spiritual aspect of it. And we'll get this information about all the ratio between men and women and can't find a good man and this, that, and it's got all the stuff that women are battling against, right? However, when you just sit back, and you work on yourself, and Sincere said this in one of his seminars I went to recently, you know, the universe is going to work in your favor. But you got to first get yourself together. You got to work on yourself together. So now when you go on dates or you meet people, you know, you have a different perspective on it. A lot of times we are a microwave society. We want stuff to happen right away. You know, I meet him today or I meet her today, and we want to rush it. We want to get down the aisle. Let's get married. Instead of taking the time to have those tough conversations. You know the saying, something worth having, you got to work for it. It's work. And I know a lot of people want to get married. It is work. And that's the one thing I learned, you know, when I was married. It's work. It ain't for the weak. But it can be easy when you have two people that, number one, recognize themselves and then work with each other. It's not going to be roses and good times all the time, but how do you resolve those conflicts when the bad comes? So even in dating, take your time. You don't have to rush. I feel you don't have to rush into it. The best thing is building a friendship. And then, you know, I'm a hopeless romantic. That's why this, you know, this play is great. My character is great because I feel that once you establish that friendship, I just feel that somewhere down the line that friendship is built, you say, man, something looks different about you. Did you change your hair? You do something different? You got some makeup on? Something about that person looks different when you build that friendship. And you realize this is somebody I want to be with. It goes to the next level. But if you try to continue to rush it, let me put that microwave. Oh, we've been together for, you know, three months. Like, we gotta. What's up? Where we going? Instead of just letting it happen organically and just watch the universe do its thing. That's my 2 cents on that.
Now, 3 cents on this show, brother. I got the smartest audience on all the radio. We got 3 cents on this show. It's all good, brother. Sincere, you're in the space. You're helping couples all the time. Why are a lot of people getting married that, unfortunately, some of those reasons are unrelated for one, why you should get married, and how, if you are marrying for the wrong reasons, it's probably inevitable for the most part that it may end. I'm pretty sure some of those marriages, they learn along the way and survive, but I don't anticipate that most of the ones that marry for the wrong whatever the wrong reasons might be, are doing as well. So what are you seeing, or what do you consider some of the reasons that people get married that are probably not good for foundation in a sense that they clearly, quote unquote, married for the wrong reasons. What do you think some of those might be from your perspective, brother?
Yeah, definitely, brother. Great question, man. What I see is a number of people have an issue with marrying the fantasy in their mind of a person or of a connection and the reality that's presented to them or in front of them, right? So this is a recent situation, and it's been a thing, right? So I'll give you a quick example, right? So as men, we have in our minds, once we meet this woman, how she's going to be for us, how she's going to be to us for an extended period of time, right? We're taking a look at what she looks like, how she moves, so forth and so on. The conversation when we're in that honeymoon period, when we're getting to know each other. But the majority of that process is fantasy land, meaning that we've created an idea of a thing and of a person in our mind, and we're waiting on the reality to catch up. But what happens is that reality often never catches up to the fantasy that we create in our minds, and then it causes a problem down the road, because now we're going to be forced to use tools to help us create the fairy tale and mess that with a reality. And that's where a lot of us, we go missing, we get frustrated, we grow disconnected, and now we move on to the next person, and we're chasing that fantasy all over again.
That's a lot
of what ends up happening to whatever degree.
Nah, that's real talk, because like you, again, giving the perspective that even in a sense that even we as men do that, right? Like we're always hearing, or, you know, women in the society where women are encouraged to, you know, be married or whatever, or they have a fantasy in their mind. Like we see that talk with, you know, openly in society. But to your point, men, we're doing it too, even if it's not in a sense put in a Disney movie showing that, right? That she has the fantasy of, you know, some knight in shining armor coming to, quote unquote, save her per se. And so it's never put in the context that, you know, we as men can, in a sense, make that same mistake. Or to your point, a lot of people are making that mistake, whatever that fantasy might be. And so what about just this perspective, if you will, just even the some of the good information that we're getting, you know, if you will, even when we go into the elders or whatever. What about, and I'm kind of generalizing here, but I think you can pull this in, but even getting good information and running with it in a way that's not healthy, if that makes sense. Like you don't have enough life experience to put in that good information, or what I've seen is sometimes people break up and I'll hear that one of them say, well, it was supposed to be this way. And they were, you know, they've already been married, but at the end, one of them's going, it was supposed to be this way. And some of that this way, they was like, well, right, my parents told me this, or, you know, my grandparents told me this. But they both wasn't on the same page. And so let me just let you jump in. I've seen that personally, just outside looking in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's why we need the village. Right. I often ask the couples that I work with, who are the elders in your life? Who are the couples in your life? And not just one, not just your mother and father, not just your grandmother and your grandfather. That's an awesome point of view, but it's a point of view, right? So we need a diversified array of information so we can glean from these things and we can add it to our situation, right? So it's just like doing a book report, right? When we were in school, like our teachers wanted to see multiple sources, not just one source, right? And that's what the college, and that's what the village perspective is all about, brother. We most of us don't want to be just like our mother and father, or just like our grandmother and grandfather. So that says that we need a diverse array of information to be able to glean the information, the material, and then put this thing into play so we can see what effectively works for us. So brother, you're on point with that. I love it.
Nah, it makes sense. We are against the top of the hour, so we'll be right back to continue this morning's discussion. Why should I get married? Part two. I see the callers out there listening, so maybe they're just enjoying the show. If y'all want to get in, you do press one. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Just to give a little highlight, Sincere kind of jumped in the middle of the show, but this brother not only wrote the 30 Love Laws, but him and his wife do amazing relationship counseling around the city. I bring you Sincere experts who are helping people move this foundation of marriage forward. So please call in if you have questions or want to ask. Please call in and get your 3 cents in. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not. TCHmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with TCHmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. TCHmedia.ai is here to change the game.
That's actually why people get married, you know, just so you know. Because this is built into marital vows. I'm not leaving, ever, no matter what. It's like, okay, well, that definitely puts a boundary around our arguments, right? Because I can't say every time you manifest one of your flaws, which you're likely to do just as often as me, well, enough of this. It's like, that's horrible, man. If your whole life is, well, every time you get out of line, I'm out of here. It's like, how the hell are you? First of all, you're not going to admit to ever doing anything wrong. Second, you're going to be on your, you're like a scared cat the entire relationship because, well, who knows, it could just come to an end at any moment. It's like, you know, people say, well, if the possibility of divorce is open, it makes you free. It's like, yeah, that's what you want. You want to be free, eh? Really? Really? So you can't predict anything. That's what you're after. It's a vow. And it says, look, I know that you're trouble. Me too. So we won't leave, no matter what happens. Well, that's a hell of a vow, but that's why it's a vow, right? That's why you take it in front of a bunch of people. That's why it's supposed to be a sacred act. It's like, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? Everything is mutable and changeable at any moment. Well, go ahead. You live your life like that and see what you're like when you're 50. Jesus, it's dismal. Two or three divorces, your family's fragmented, you've got no continuity of narrative. And it's not good for the kids, not by any stretch of the imagination. And so it's a form of voluntary enslavement, I suppose, but it's also equivalent to the adoption of a responsibility. And there's more to it than that. If you can't run away, then you can solve your problems. Because it might be, okay, well, I'm stuck with you. So how about we fix things? Because the alternative is we're going to be in a boxing match for the next 40 years. That's the alternative. So, and you think you're going to fix problems without something like that hanging over your head? There isn't a chance. You'll just avoid them because that's what people do. It's really hard to solve problems, especially in a relationship. We're having a fight and I find out that it's, you know, because you were abused by your uncle when you were 5 or some goddamn thing. You know, it's like, it's very frequent that sort of thing happens. There's the partner, your partner's, you know, manifesting some weird anomalous behavior. You just can't make heads or tails of it. It doesn't seem related to what you're doing at all. They don't want to talk about it. And so as soon as you bring it up, they get mad. And then you bring it up again, they even get madder, and they tell you that you're not going to talk about that or they're going to leave. And so maybe you're really, really persistent because you're kind of a son of a bitch, and then they break down and cry, you know? And then they have this horrible memory that comes flooding forward that's completely, you don't know what to do with it, and then you have to sort it out. But you think you're going to do that unless there's a good reason? You have to know, we better sort this out or we're going to be carrying it around for the next 40 years. That maybe is enough motivation so you'll actually try hard to solve.
Try hard to solve the problem. Jordan Peterson cut once again on his perspective on the marriage vow specifically, which I think we to a degree, see it as fleeting based on having the wrong foundation and often not realizing what we just heard, the amount of work it will take to be partnered. It doesn't make it sound like the fairy tale that, in a sense, that we all dream of, if you will. And quite often we're getting married while we're in that stage of the honeymoon, or we're deciding that we want to marry in that stage, never putting in context that what you just heard will often be the reality, and somebody listening outside and saying, well, dang, when I hear that, and we ask the question, why should I get married? Do I really want to go through what I just heard? And the reality is, personally, you could never be all that you are meant to be traveling this life without learning how to be paired with another, which is a very natural thing for us as humans. But part of pairing with another is learning those hard things about yourself, which takes you to another level. And it's why you see couples that have survived some of what you just heard, for example, in that example, why they are so happy at the end, because they know who they've become after going through the fire and staying together versus parting, which can be easily done, and it will be done if you go into it not realizing how the other side of what a marriage thing is all about. Again, this is just my perspective on what I just heard. Sincere, jump in. I want to get Arvell's thoughts as well.
Yeah, brother, I dig it, man. Like, I really dig what's being said here, because now we're getting into the meat and the bones of this thing, all right? Now I want everybody to understand, y'all, how powerful we are. Yo, we can create that fairy tale. I specialize in high vibrational relationships, not average, not just above the line, high vibrational, high yielding, thriving relationship. That's what I specialize in, right? So there's also a saying that when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Millionaires and billionaires do work, but they don't do the same work as a laborer in the field that's a farmer. Right, it's all work. It's your understanding of the work that you desire to do, and then designing that thing. Right, so me and my wife, we burn the boats. Right, so what I mean by that is when we decided to connect our lives, our families, our intentions, our hustle, our minds, our spirits, we did that in a holistic way. Right, and we said, we're going to figure this thing out, whatever that means, right? But I had enough information. I want to be clear. I had enough information based on me seeing who her family was, me seeing who she was over a period of time, how consistent she was with her language and her movement, the people who raised her, the values of the family. Yo, I took my time on this thing, and she did the same. I took her to Mississippi, and we built. We actually built something, right? So when we say, listen, regardless of what happens, we're going to face this thing together, it's not us against each other. It's us against whatever issue. It's us against whatever is trying to tear us apart, right? So we're going to fight this thing together, whatever it is, and I don't care what it is. And that's how we're going to keep this thing high vibrational, high yielding. And that's how we're going to affect the community in a positive way with it.
Now, I love it. I think it's just the simplest part of what we just said. We actually got a caller before I go to you, Arvell. But the simplest part of what you just said is just two people understanding that context, right? That is us against this thing. And if both people understand that context now, how hard it may be, is going to be okay, because you know you're with someone who also understands this. You know that they're not going to be out as we try to tackle this thing, right? Like, how you can't get through it alone.
Right.
And so if you go into it with someone who understands, oh, I'm gonna be in the trenches with you. So we're going to figure it out, you know. But I got somebody who understands going in, that there are going to be times where we're in this trenches together. Let's go to the caller. 661, last 3362. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and give us your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Okay, hi, everyone. My name is Ty. I'm calling from California. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep, we can hear you. Got a little background, but it's all good. We love it. Thanks for getting in on here with us.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm at the gym, so I said, okay, just keep in your chat.
No, go ahead and get it. Go ahead and get it. We with it. Go ahead. Okay. No problem.
All right. And so I love everything that people are saying. I think going back to the Peterson clip, just in regards to when things kind of get hard, people leave, and you find out more of their background. Something I'm learning to do in relationship, or that I just should be more intentional about practicing, is asking more reflective questions to seek to understand. And one of those questions centers around, when you were young, what happened when you did that thing? And it's usually I don't always word it specifically like that, but if my partner shares something, I'll kind of go like, oh, well, when you were younger, what would your dad do if you did this? Or what would your uncle say if you did that? And really what it is you start to learn that sometimes when people did bad things, they learned that they were going to get a very harsh consequence no matter what. And so sometimes even standing in accountability, when they're in their adulthood, it poses different challenges, because once you admit to a fault and or if you did something, you're accustomed to getting a very harsh reaction. And so I think at learning those different reflective questions to seek to understand can sometimes help people when they're navigating their courtship, their dating, to better understand who's sitting across from them. And so if you guys are going to take this union for marriage, knowing how to navigate those waters, and how do you negotiate those waters, and how do you continue to create a safe space for people, especially if certain things aren't their reality, you know? And so I know for me growing up, it was okay to make mistakes. I don't even call them bad things. It's like, oh, that was a mistake, and no biggie, you know? And so I'm very comfortable with talking about all of my faults in different ways, because when I was a child, there was no strong ramification for being wrong. It was an opportunity to grow. And so when you start learning that that's not everybody's reality, you start learning that you can admit to certain things, it's not a big deal to you, but other people can really struggle with that, but that's because they may be attaching it to other things. And so when we're talking about the different tools that we have to learn, I think that's one of those tools that I put in my backpack. And so I just wanted to share this great conversation, and I love what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Ty. That was amazing. Amazing. One of our newest members. So thank you, Queen, for the support. Thank you for that amazing, I'm going to call that 4 cents this morning, because she is absolutely right. It's funny. I was just listening to a show, I think just last night or the night before, and it highlighted that ultimately, quite often, you really are marrying a person's childhood trauma, whether you realize it or not. And I think her reflective question is a beautiful way to explore who you're dealing with, and then her personal example was so perfect. Her upbringing, in a sense, effective person was there, so it wasn't harsh when she made a mistake. So it was easy for her, but it sounds like she had to ask that question and who she's getting to know to better be able to navigate or even help that person reflect on, why do I respond this way? That was a dynamic example, if you will. Got another caller that wants to jump in, but Cecile, I got to hear a quick thought from you. We'll go to break before we get to the caller as well, but a thought from you from what Ty just brought to the table. But I love what the Queen said.
Oh, yeah, my brother, that was super dope. And sister, I really appreciate that added value, right? So most times we perceive a thing based on what we've experienced coming up. So it is connected to our childhood. That's why conversation and communication is so vital to building a relationship. So I love it.
Absolutely. We got another caller that wants to jump in, but I only got about a minute for a break, so I don't want to cut them off. Arvell, a quick thought before I go to break to what you just heard, brother. Just a real quick, about 30 seconds, and we're going to go to break.
Excellent point. It ties back to what we talked about just before her comment. It's all about putting in the work and understanding that person, whoever you're with, their background, and putting in the work, and it's not something that needs to be rushed at all. I mean, we talk about relationships, you know, like we'll put up with some stuff, our relationship and our job. We'll put up with the boss saying all kind of stuff to us, and we're not gonna stop that because, you know, there's something we're getting out of it. And it's the same concept with this. Building a relationship, hey, you got a determination whether or not you want to be with this person and get to know that person, and it will all work out. It would all work out if you just put in the work.
Yeah, I love it.
Excellent comment.
No, absolutely. Great comment, Queen. Thank you so much. We'll get to the 773, last 3768 coming out of the break. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers.
Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wines. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping gel or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try this sweet red first.
Okay, that's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure, that's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
The reality that needs to be said out loud is that as black men age, their desirability increases. Thus, their optionality of women is always expanding. And the exact opposite is true for black women. Mm-hmm. As we age, doesn't matter how much money we accumulate, our degrees or professional accolades, the reality is that our marriage and partnership market value is depreciating with every passing year. No matter how good we look, no matter how fit we are, men are still seeing primarily our presumed dwindling fertility as a knock against us. And speaking of fertility, that is another reason that I want younger black women to seek marriage and partnership in college or right after if that's what they choose. Because the number of college-educated black men are so low when compared to black college-educated women that we're all going to be targeting the same small pool of men. And as we heard today, on most campuses, there's like 7 black women students for every 1 black man student. Y'all do the math. So here's my advice. If you are a young black woman in college and you know in your heart and in your head that you want to prioritize family, I suggest that you simultaneously pursue that MRS degree right along with that BA or JD. Because a handful of black college-age men that actually do desire to get married soon, and they do share that value system, and family is a priority for them too, y'all, that is an incredibly small pool, and it's shrinking as you get older. And by the time you reach my age, 40, you will be faced with different choices relating to life partnership and motherhood. Now, I'm not saying that delaying marriage or motherhood is a bad option, but it's one that comes with its own consequences. And our women deserve to know on the front end of their decision-making instead of on the back half.
Welcome back to the Bitter Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, why should I get married? Part 2, special guest, sincere relationship coach and author of the 30 Love Laws, as well as Arvell Draper, cast member in the Why Should I Get Married play coming up on November 11th. You'll hear more about that later in the show. But Ebony K. Williams set the internet off with these comments recently, giving her perspective, as if you will, as a 40-year-old sister, saying, hey, here's some information I want to hand off to some of our younger sisters who are still in college to put this in perspective. And these are things that we've all heard before. I will just highlight that I don't know if all her numbers are right, because some of the numbers seem to make it extreme, 7-1. Those are typically not the case. These are just things that we hear typically, and highlighting that the number of educated men is such a small pool. So it's just, there is some extreme in her conversation, but there is also some reality in the conversation that I think is worthy of putting in perspective, because to a degree,
as being the, in a sense, we are the recent generation that could go off to college and have our lives, and we've, in a sense, started to put career as an entire culture in front of this concept of being union and married, where that ended up being was a forefront historically. And I'm not saying a right or wrong, we're just talking about the reality of that transition. So I hear some context that's needed even in today's time, again, moving away from her extremes. Before we get to the caller, Sincere, your thoughts on that cut, because it did set the internet a storm. But again, I think there is some things that's worthy of discussion in her comments.
Yeah, absolutely, my brother. She makes some good points. But what I would like to hear more of, so I'm going to place this as a part of the conversation, is prioritizing knowledge and wisdom, not just the time, right? Because if we make things less important based on time, based on statistics versus the principle, then we're going to be in just as bad of a space. That's the potential here, right? So if we're saying, hey, based on the numbers, based on what I'm dealing with at 40, at 25, you should really be considering these things. And if that's the case, there should be an environment to cultivate the proper choice and selection, so we don't have a bunch of divorces based on people focusing on time versus knowledge and wisdom.
Nah, it makes a lot of sense. And let me highlight this and we'll go to the caller. So you're making the point just in the sense of, if you put, like, to your point, if we put what she's saying in context, then to your point, it would require, in a sense, the village to ensure that what's important, the knowledge and wisdom, is provided within the time frame that makes sense, right? So to your point, don't just up and do it because of the statistics. That's, you know, obviously your point. However, the however is because, in my opinion, we've lost sight of some of that natural reality as far as, you know, the childbirth and birthing period and things of that nature. So because we've lost sight of it, we haven't also cultivated the culture that you're talking about. Like if you were to see Ebony, and again, it's not about whether I agree with her or not, I'm just highlighting this one other aspect. When she went on kind of like a little tour after she said this, she kind of stood by it, and she stood by it from the standpoint of there are plenty of families that do facilitate that culture for people to pair earlier, but they have, to your point, been given the knowledge and wisdom. So it does require more of us as a society to, if we're going to push this, then we would have to push it in the right context. And I think that's all you're saying. But without having the conversation, some of that's been lost in society, in my opinion. Quick response to that, Criteria, then I'm going to call it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. That's on point. Cause multiple things can be true at the same time. We're not a linear people, but we are a powerful people, and we do well with information. We do well with intuition, knowledge, and wisdom. So we have to apply those things.
Now, fair enough. Area code 773, last 3768. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Peace and love, everyone. I am Cynthia Eel. I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I am a student, client, friend of Sincere. And I was actually about to speak on what, before we went to break, what she asked, the young lady spoke on when it went to break. Is marriage starts, as I'm learning from Sincere, when you're single. And that's what a lot of people don't get. Marriage starts when you're single. When you have to be intentional about, if I want to be a husband, if I want to be a wife, what does that in detail, what does that look like? And, you know, we say it takes a village, but how many of us really have that village? How many of us can really look around and see a positive relationship, long-lasting relationship? A lot of us can look around and see a lot of failed marriages, and that's where we mess up and we go to them for counsel. But if you don't want the things that they have, why are you going to them? Because they're going to give you altered views from their, you know, perspective and their lens. So that's when, like, anyone that's on this call, that's when Sincere really, really comes in handy, no matter where you are, but especially if you're in Atlanta, because now you can get exposed to that village that you didn't have access to before, because it takes a lot to be a husband, to be a wife. And a lot of times we walk into this where, oh, I just like you, you like me, but no true vision of what that really is. And you start while you're single on gaining that vision of what that really is. And before you join in this union, you build on what that really is, so that now you're not in this union together and you're driving on a blank road. And also, marriage is a spiritual union. It's a religious ceremony between you and another person. And a lot of times we're walking into this not knowing where our mate stands spiritually, and there's no spiritual component. So you're going into a spiritual union with somebody without the Most High in it, and you're bound to fail. So I just want to, you know, put that little 2 cent in there. That's it.
Peace. 3 cents. We are too smart to give us 2 cents. You're too smart. That answer is way too smart to give us 2 cents. It's 3 cents, Queen. Appreciate you so much. That was an amazing 3 cents. Sincere, how much you paid this sister to call the show and give all these props?
I don't know, man. Well, we're not going to disclose that. But, hey, sister, I appreciate your share, gratitude for that. That's somebody that's on the journey, brother. So I'm in gratitude for the privilege to be able to serve.
Now, amazing call, Queen. And the thing that resonated with me, and I want to get your thoughts as well, but the thing that resonated the most is when you say it starts when you're single and he has you, in a sense, focusing on who you want to be as a wife. Because what happens is it is human nature. Like, people don't confuse this, and it's like it's not nothing wrong per se. You're just getting better information now, if you will. But it's human nature. I've been guilty of this as well. We are typically really focused on what will the person be for us as a husband, as a wife, like when you're looking at the other person. And so the focus is so much on what will they bring to you and how will they fit in your life. And to her point, have you been working, if this is what you say you want, a union, have you been preparing yourself to be a mate to the other person, is what I think, what I feel like I got from what she's learned from Sincere. So thank you so much, Cynthia, for that call. Arvell, any thoughts to what the Queen had to say?
I mean, we can drop the microphone right there with everything that she said, you know. And like you picked up, when she said marriage starts when you're single, that's a powerful statement. It starts when you're single, because what's happening is you need to understand, where do you plan to go? What type of mate do you want to be? And if you haven't clearly defined that in your head and got the information, then you're going to be lost. That's like, okay, I'm going to a place I've never been before, and I don't put the direction in the GPS. I'm going to be spinning around in circles trying to get to a spot if I don't know exactly where I'm going. So when you understand what type of mate you want to be, when you understand what type of marriage you want, when you're dating and you're asking those questions, you're doing the research, as we mentioned on the last segment, you know, you can tell whether this person or not, okay, is this somebody spiritually that I align with? Because if they're not, then okay, this is not what I want. You can get off that journey down the wrong path. But if you don't know where you want to go, then you're just going to be spinning your wheels. You're going to be disappointed, and then all this other stuff comes after that. So that's an excellent point. You're just understanding where you want to go, and get the information. So yeah, excellent.
I love it.
Excellent comment.
I love it. Sincere, you know, again, she called in repping for you and said she learned from you. It starts when you're single. Peel that back. Like, obviously, she threw that out. Myself and Arva both latched to it. So you, as the teacher of it, explain that about a minute before break. So give a short explanation to it starts, marriage starts when you're single. I want to hear it from the teacher's mouth.
Absolutely. My sentiment is simple. If you say that you are looking for a wife or a husband, my question is, are you a husband or a wife already?
Ooh.
Right. So, yeah, so that's a big element of the process. If you say I'm looking for my wife, then you can only discover your wife from the lens of being a husband. If you're saying I'm looking for my husband, or I'm waiting to attract my husband, then you can only see your husband from the lens of a wife. So What's the work? How do you know if it's him or her when they show up? That's discernment, right? So what has transpired to have you know if your husband stepped into your face, if your wife stepped into your face tomorrow, would you recognize that?
Wow, that's big. Thank you for that peel back, King. We're up against the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Even out.
I loved it. I didn't want to be without him. I mean, you can be upset with somebody and not agree and, you know, have fights about it and all that, but it's never been that serious where I ever thought about leaving or not wanting to be with him. I'm hoping you're about to say the same thing.
I was brought up, I was raised by my grandparents. So my grandfather told me, he said, whenever you get married, you know, and you and your wife have disagreements or falling outs, he said, it should stay within your own home. You know, it shouldn't be all over the neighborhood and everywhere else. So when we got married, first got married, I told her, I said, hey, if you get mad at me or we get upset, you know, you don't want me sleeping in the bed with you because you're mad, I'll sleep on the sofa, I'll go in the next room. You ain't going to your mom's, and I'm not running to my mom. We ain't running and telling them nothing that's happening in here. Because this is between you and me. So I really believe that real strongly.
I think the whole concept of love, commitment, and marriage is not in its proper place today. Because I think a lot of females feel like love is butterflies in your stomach and looking perfect all the time. And he's smelling good and, you know, he's treating you, you know, like royalty all the time. That's not reality. But a lot of women and men, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, go into relationships with the wrong idea about what it comes with, okay? And here's the thing that's different for us, too. It's not just a feeling when you love somebody. It's a decision that you've chosen this person and you're going to be committed to this person and that there are going to be tests, trials, struggles. You're not going to always agree on the same thing. But today it just seems like the mind said, okay, this ain't working no more. I'm out. See, this is the thing. The problem, I think, with relationships today is people are too selfish. It's all about them. So I get ready to leave the house. He's got my glasses sitting on my purse. You see what I'm saying? He knew me and cared enough about what I needed, my shortcomings, because I am very forgetful. So he gets ahead of that. And he says, she ain't going to wear these glasses. Let me put them on my purse. She got to take a purse with her. Those things are worth gold. And that's why 49 years later, technically 51 years later, you can say this is somebody that is a keeper for life. And that's how I sincerely feel.
Well, thank you, girl.
Oh, you knew that. You knew that. We're still here.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, special guest relationship coach, Sincere Sincere, author of the 30 Love Laws, as well as Arvell Draper, cast member in the Why Should I Get Married play, which you're going to hear a little bit more about here soon. Great cut. I've used quite often anytime we get into this discussion of marriage. I love highlighting a couple things. There's several you can highlight out of that cut. But Georgia Marcia, as they're pointing out, been together damn near 50 years, as they highlighted. But just highlighting a couple things for me, and then I definitely want to hear y'all thoughts. But the balancing wise counsel with we don't take our problems outside the house. So it's like, that's like, to me, this is an example, and here's Sincere where you could probably help with this. That's an example of getting it's the right information, but if you don't have the context, you might blow it, right? You're like, you're always, as you said, you want the wise counsel to be beyond even, you know, your mother and father, your grandparents, right? I definitely love that insight, but I would love for you to put that in the context of when to use wise counsel versus running to tell your marital problems, even to your quote-unquote counsel, if you will. Balance that out, because, again, getting that information without the right context, people could easily blow that, if that makes sense.
Sure, absolutely. And I just want to point out, man, I love it. Whenever my elders talk, you know, I'm a student, you know, and that's one of the elements of the 30 love laws. That's how I was able to put it together, the clinical side, the spiritual side, and going to find those elders over an extended period of time. But that's a great question, brother. There is a balance. Balance is the highest form of mastery, right? So what does that mean in the context of a relationship? Everything should not come outside of the house, because that means that the union, the bond that you've made is not sacred, right? So I'm going to give a specific example, right? Sexual positions should not be discussed outside of the household, right? So that's a very specific thing to the relationship. Now, if you're speaking in general, cool. Right. But the specifics on that and how the act transpires, so forth and so on, certain things should just be between you, your mate, and the creator. That's it. Right. That's an easy one. Right. So, for example, like if I'm having a conversation to my wife's counsel, right, like I don't have to say in a blow up, my wife called me this, 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 and this. Like this is. These are the specific words that she used to curse me out, right? Right? It can simply be stated, me and my wife had a disagreement. We're stuck here. I need that wise counsel. How can you help us with this form of disagreement? Does it make sense?
No, it makes 100% sense. Like I mean, like thinking of your example, to your point, I could go to the counsel, give the exact verbiage versus when we're dialoguing, we're not being respectful in that conversation. That's a very different, I can get the information that I need by highlighting we're not respectful when we're talking, but that's not giving no details,
right,
even for the wise counsel who is still human, that there are certain things if they – you know, like they going to think, damn, she said that. You know what I'm saying? Like to your point.
Right.
Like, to your point, even as counsel, they might even hide the fact that they thinking that she, right? Because they have to, because as wise counsel,
right,
they're not going to let in, right, you're telling me too many details. At this point, they just want to help you. But to your point, that's a understanding of that balancing act. And hopefully, if you've never been told that, you absolutely think, let me go tell wise counsel exactly what happened. Part of typically why you're telling exactly what happened is your ego's involved in wanting someone to tell you you're right. So that's
right,
another
there you go,
aspect for why you're wanting to provide details. You there's a part of you that is trying to figure it out, so you are trying to get another perspective, but the reason you're going into detail about your spouse is typically for your own ego, even if you're not 100% conscious of that. But anybody listening, hopefully they pick up on it and make that distinction. So again, I definitely wanted to get that clarity. The other thing that was said, again, I want to point out two things in that cut, and I think this is the most important that the sister said, was today we marriage in a selfish manner. We got another caller that wants to get in as well, I just noticed. But we'll make it quick because we got another caller. But that is the deterioration of any and every marriage if there is – it only takes one being selfish. And I think in the me society, to her point, we are marrying selfishly today versus not in the past, in my opinion. Quick thought on that, Sincere, then I'm going to go to a caller.
Definitely, my brother, you're on point. You're on point there. Now, at the point that your union becomes about you or it becomes about the other person, it's no longer a marriage. See, well, we have to have the proper context on what marriage is. Like, it's a connection or a collection of ideas, thoughts, commitments, and that is a bond that's established. That now, it's not me, it's we. So whenever it becomes selfish, now you have disconnect from the idea, the very definition of what marriage is.
Wow. Now, that's dope context, brother. Appreciate you. Area code 770, last 3517. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Hi, good afternoon. Oh, good morning. This is Denise calling from Richmond, Virginia. How y'all doing?
Hey, Queen, how you doing? What's up? This is my long time years ago. Just my, and my best friend. So how you doing, Queen? I don't mind telling the goods. I know you were trying to call in all anonymous and stuff, but thank you, Queen. What you got for us?
So we've been listening to the show this morning, and I just wanted to touch on something I think that we haven't really heard.
Okay.
And then you guys can expand on it. And that is the question of why should I get married once you get to a certain age in life? So once we get to an age of, you know, 45, 50, 60 years old, that becomes a really crucial question for single people and for people who have been married and divorced, because at that point in life, we have financially, we're stable, we've maybe own our own homes at that point. We've become very independent. We've been living our lives, and we question, you know, do we need anybody? Like, we're independent. We've got it going on. We've been living this life successfully without someone. So why, in fact, should we get married? As you know, I just recently got married a year ago. And for me, up until that point, I was pretty much single for, you know, for the most part. And I did get married, you know, after 50, and I did not expect it. So I think that I had already decided, you know, I'm good, I'm fine, I don't need it. And now that I've gotten married, it has completely changed my way of thinking, because when you went to a point that was that stated earlier, when there's two, it's so much better than one. So just, you know, maybe talk about that a little bit.
We need to, because I know Sincera has helped people do the very thing that you're talking about, and I want to highlight, you know, thank you for inviting me to be a part of, you know, your union a year ago. So shout out to y'all, because at the end of the day, people typically know me personally. I'm always pushing healthy marriage, if you will, and I love the example that, you know, y'all have been even in my life, and, you know, just a little bit I know as a friend. But yeah, Sincere, to her point, yeah, what if you are at that stage where it's kind of like, is it even necessary at this point? I've kind of, you know, the children are out the, you know, what is it, not the nest egg, if you will. So you may be at that point where you're in the ladder, and now you're kind of like, is it even still for me, if you will? So, yeah, any thoughts to Denise's point for people in that stage? Because that is a lot of people in our community. That is a reality. Go ahead, King.
Yeah, my sister, great question. And I'm going to give you some recent studies, and these are easy studies to look up. Like, it is an absolute scientific fact that as you connect, and I want to have the proper context, when I speak of marriage, I'm only speaking about it in a happy, healthy, productive manner, right? So if it's not there, we should get it there, right? So with that being the case, there are multiple studies that says how we are healthier being connected to someone else in the way of marriage. People who have had heart attacks, strokes, it is proven that they live a longer life being connected to somebody, because now that's a part of their life mission. Now they're surviving for their spouse, right? Your immune system is boosted, right? Part of your spiritual elevation and evolution is tied to you being married and being in that happy, healthy, productive space. Because there's multiple studies that talked about retirement with people that are single, mm-hmm. that have a life expectancy around 5 years. Now, for the ones that are married, it's about double that, right? Regardless of the health condition. So there mm-hmm. are numerous spiritual, mental, and physical benefits to being married over the age of 40 years of age.
Hey, why should I get married? That's a great question. Like I said, Denise, beautiful question. And, you know, to Cecilia's point, he's giving you the data that backs up
the why for anybody considering that or thinking it's not for you, or even the, in a sense, when the gender war puts things in a context as if it may not be for you or you've missed out, or as they always put it, you're going to die alone. And quite often that's equated to the women, if you will. The reality is, if you really look that up, men dying alone is actually way more detrimental, just from the standpoint of sisters will have a community in that situation if they are alone, which still helps aid them. Men will literally die alone and die sooner on their own. So despite the gender war's context, right, the reality is we are not naturally built to live this life alone, and it can be detrimental. In today's current time, women have kind of figured out by having a community in the event that they don't marry, but to Sierra's point, when it's done happily, there are huge benefits. So love that answer, Sincere. We're going up to, I guess, our last break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
On Saturday, 4 p.m., November the 11th, Lulu Events presents a play asking the ultimate question, why should I get married? Join us for a tale of love and marriage and a different kind of date night with good food, good drinks, and a celebration of longtime married couples leading by example. Tickets are only $25. Please visit eventbrite.com and search in Georgia for Why Should I Get Married. Limited seating, so order your tickets now and catch this night full of love, power, and agreement. Saturday, 4 p.m., November the 11th, Why Should I Get Married?
Marriage is work. Staying with the same person for 50 years is work. Staying with the same person for 65 years, that's work. That's not just love. That's work. Love works. True love will work. True love will make you work on yourself. It will make you work on your relationship. It will make you work on your communication style. It will make you work on your tone. It will make you work on being home on time. It will make you work on cooking. It will make you work on cleaning. True love actually works. It ain't just a feeling. It's an action. I've been married for 23 years. I'll be married for 24 years, May 1st of 2023. Our love works for each other. We work at this. This ain't just we wake up every morning just in love. We work at it. And we've worked at it for 23 years. And that's why the relationship is so good. Juliet's my girl. You know what I'm saying? But we work at this. It's not just some, I woke up like this. I woke up like this. No, I didn't just wake up like this. I worked at this. I worked at this. We worked at this. But when you don't work, it doesn't work. If only one of you is working, it's not going to work. And so if both people don't show up with the tools, or both people don't need at least show up with the mindset that, hey, we want to make this work.
The reason why marriages today are in trouble is because people think it's the end goal instead of the starting point.
Ooh, rewind!
You think you won the race when, no, that is just registration table. You know what I'm saying? There is a marathon to continue. And when we celebrate the wedding and the pictures, and we do all this hype, and then after you do that big payoff, now it's what's next. A lot of us spent more time planning the wedding, what the colors was going to be, who our bridesmaid and groomsmen, but we didn't go to therapy before. We didn't actually map out plans. We said those traditional vows that wasn't even specific to us. We didn't even make a covenant with each other. We didn't make a contract. We didn't have the emergency procedures. So my point is, I want everybody to think about that. Marriage is not the end goal. It's the starting point. The end goal is not me marrying you. The end goal is me dying married to you.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Before we get into that, last cut was from tonight's conversation. But before we get into the cuts, let's talk about Why Should I Get Married, the play. Arvell, again, you are a cast member. You kind of broke down your role in the very beginning of the show. But if we could just encourage people to jump on those tickets, you can't beat it, a $25 per person date night. come out and experience, again, this work that LaWanda Jordan, or Lulu as we call her, is putting on this production. If you will, brother, talk about this production. Cecile, from what I understand, you are a part of that night as well. And Lulu made me have to highlight, I'm part of the reason she's even doing this, but we'll get into that a little later as well. But if you will, Arvell, again, thank you for being with us. But let's talk about that play before we get into those cuts.
Yeah, the play, Why Should I Get Married? It's an awesome, awesome, awesome production. And like you said, it's for $25, okay? And when I say $25, $25 is going to get you an excellent play. $25 is going to get you poetry. $25 is going to get you some singing. $25 is going to get you some food. I mean, you cannot beat $25. Grab your boo, grab your wife, grab somebody. Somebody you're dating, come out, date night, $25. Excellent play. Just going to discuss about, it's about me. I'm the main character. I'm Vincent. I'm in love with my girlfriend. I've been with for 13 months. And I'm just trying to figure out, why should I get married? I go in and I ask some close friends of mine. I ask my village. And some of them give me some good advice, the good about marriage. Some give me the bad. And at the end of the day, I'm confused of whether or not I'm gonna ask her to get married. I'm confused on why should I get married. So you'll have to come out to the play to see if I actually pop that question. So that's what the play is all about. You can't beat it.
Nah, I love it. All the BS running around the internet right now about where can you take somebody on a first date. I think you're winning like a champ right now with the why.
That's it, $25.
Why should I get married? You know what I'm saying? She's going to be mightily pleased with this opportunity. Like you said, let's get out to the production to see where Arvell's character, ends up deciding. In this play. Cecile, again, you are part of this play as well. Unless we got another caller that wants to jump in, but I want to get to the cuts very briefly. Not a lot on those cuts, but I thought they were just prevalent for today. But yeah, you're part of this production as well. We've both helped Lulu, put on some of these productions or whatever. As a matter of fact, I'll let the cat out of the bag on this, but it was, and you, I don't know if you know this, I'm pretty sure you remember this, Cecile, or whatever, or I don't know if she's told you this, but you and I, if I remember correctly, we were both honored by Lulu when she was doing like honoring black men that were doing stuff in the community. I think we both were honored on the same night, but she would, in that night, we would have dialogues. And I was just talking about the history of marriage that night based on whatever the context was that night. And, me being a historian, just kind of mentioning it and where the things that we didn't understand about the historical context in today's time. And it was a particular line that I said that drove her to start putting on Why Should I Get Married conversations. And she's turned it now into small productions into now a full-fledged play. So she wanted to say, you better tell people you're the reason I started this. So that's the backdrop to that. But again, you and I both have been part of some of the previous productions. And from what I understand, you're part of this one. So go ahead, King.
Yeah, brother, absolutely, man. Just to cover a little bit of it all, man, like you, that night is going to be so amazing because you get a chance to get the game. Yo, I coach people around this country. My book is so worldwide. You'll be able to see what I do as a performing artist because I'm a spoken word artist as well, which kind of lit the fire for all of this. But absolutely, like having these conversations are so vital, man. And you're a part of that, brother. So, man, it's going to be an amazing night. And as far as the cuts are concerned, man, a lot of people make the marriage the finale. Now, let me have you understand what that means. If the marriage is at the peak of the mountain, there's nowhere else to go but down. Right? So I want to be clear with that. If that's at the peak of the mountain, there's nowhere else to go but down. Really, marriage is at about the halfway point on the way up the mountain. That's where marriage actually lives, to give you a visual, right? Because if you don't properly design that thing, you don't have the tools, the proper and effective tools and the wise counsel, you're going to fall off the cliff once the marriage happens, the event. Because we put way too much information or we put way too much effort and energy into the marriage, into the event that says that you're married versus the marriage itself.
Nah, I love that. I think the caller may have dropped, so I think we're good on that. If you want to get in or if you want to get back in, whoever the caller was, just press 1 and we'll get you in. I think all the other callers I've gotten to already. All right, sounds good. But no, I love what you're saying, brother, just kind of putting it in perspective. One thing I wanted to bring to the table, and I think we just, again, I just mentioned this word or whatever, but it's a reality, and I just want to highlight for anybody out there listening, I hope you're being fed by what we're doing. Again, we love to do the hard conversations on race, sex, and culture. Foundationally, I really love to always highlight. I have my own book as well called Reeducation of the Negro, and there's a piece where I'm highlighting that fixing the, if you will, the basic relationship between the black man and black woman will go a long way for our community to see a lot of things that we want, because at the end of the day, you can't have strong community without strong family, and the cornerstone of a strong family is marriage. So again, just throwing out, if you're asking that question, all of these things, there's all these reasons in a sense why you should. If you are an individual that never wants to be, okay. But what happens in today's context, and I'm going to highlight this purposely, what happens is the gender war seems to grow online. It's not the reality offline, but it is starting to affect us offline. If you're online, it looks terrible. All you hear is the dwindling numbers and the dwindling stats, and there's no chance. Again, you get into that paranoia, you're setting yourself up for failure, and even while ultimately still wanting to be paired. But you can get the so much despair that you no longer want to, but ultimately by nature as humans we want to. And so what I always like to highlight in, if you, what you heard today was, is filling you, you have to be particular in where you're getting information. Garbage in is garbage out. And so anyone listening, if you keep listening to, in a sense, what's wrong with the other gender, you will eventually gain an underlying disdain, but the disdain comes from wanting to be paired. So you literally work against yourself if you, in a sense, even if there's good information, but it is done with a level of disdain for the other gender, it will harm you in the long run, or as where it sets on your brain psychologically and subconsciously how it will affect you in trying to be prepared. And when that happens, you have not done the work. You've been listening to the wrong information. Even if, again, a lot of it is correct, but if it's done in the wrong vein, done with the wrong sentiment, it will not serve you. If you will, Brother Sincere, please jump in and close us out. Again, you've been doing this work for a number of years. We admire and appreciate your work in the community. You are helping families get prepared to build union or stay in their union. So, again, I want to just say, give you your flowers now, but if you would, please add some context to the why. You know, you always talk about the difference between knowledge and wisdom, if you will, and I think that aptly applies to this moment. Thank you, King, for being with us. Thank you, Arvell, for your time as well. But go ahead, Brother Sincere.
All right, perfect time, and I'm about to get ready to go work with my boys, Elevating Young Kings, working with single mothers to help grow young men. All right, so the difference between knowledge and wisdom is simple. Knowledge is where information and application gives you consistent results. That's knowledge, where information meets application and you get consistent results. Now, where does the wisdom come in? Wisdom is when you have the information, the application, the results, and now you're able to teach those results. So I can teach somebody, I can remove myself from the scenario, and somebody else takes that knowledge and grows it into wisdom themselves so they can pass it on to their lineage. That's wisdom. Those are the two most valuable things that we have in this world, especially for highly melanated people. So we have to get back there, and we can form any type of connection, and we can build anything that we need, want, or desire.
Thank you for that, King. Go to eventbrite.com in Georgia and look up Why Should I Get Married, November the 11th. What time is it, Arvell?
It's from 4 to 6.
4 to 6. You can't beat it. $25 date night. come out, experience Sincere, experience Arvell in this place, see what he decides. Can't miss it. Eventbrite in Georgia. Look up Why Should I Get Married and get your tickets for this play. Thank you guys for an amazing show this morning. See y'all next Saturday. I'm going to end with a cut that just, again, just put things you heard in perspective. If you're online, you will have to listen to the replay to hear this. If you're on the phone lines, you will catch this. We'll be see y'all next Saturday. All I ask.
In the short term.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, people have to. The effort issue is like, well, when you're in love with someone, you're going to organize your schedule and make them a priority. And, you know, that's in some ways a fleeting state, although it's not necessarily as fleeting as people think it is, but whatever. It's obviously a priority. And then you get married and, you know, you kind of get accustomed to having each other around, and then everything else is more important and the relationship drifts to the bottom. And then people get dissatisfied and they start looking for excitement and adventure otherwise. Well, you can't do that. You have to prioritize the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like my observation clinically has been for a couple to maintain their relationship without it deteriorating, they have to spend 90 minutes a week together talking about their lives, about how the house is run, about what they've all been doing to keep their stories caught up, right?
That's so, not really even that much.
No, it's not. It's not that much.
Yeah.
But and which is a good thing. You can actually do it. And then they need to spend at least one time having a date. And two is better. One is necessary. Two is better. You can't aim for a lot more than that because, you know, life is very busy. And if it's going to be sustainable, it has to be realistic. But they need to make time for each other twice a week and talk in like in a non-romantic way, just practically about the domestic economy and about everything that's going on. And that keeps people tied to each other and updated. And so that's sort of your minimal commitment level if you don't want things to deteriorate.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've shortened the time from harvest to home for our tasty tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. So no matter how you shop, you have more time with your fresh produce. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We've locked in low prices to help you save big store-wide. Look for the locked in low prices tags and enjoy extra savings throughout the store. Kroger, fresh for everyone.